Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Well, Barbara Scully is a broadcaster, podcaster, columnist, and now a stand-up storyteller and comedian. She's touring her first show called Older and Bolder around Ireland, and she's getting ready for a new show called Because I'm Worth It. Barbara Scully, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miriam. Thank you.
I love it. Listen, I obviously know you well as a radio presenter, a podcast host, a columnist. So tell me about taking what you know and bringing it to the stage.
Well, I mean, this was never planned. Like most of the things that happened in my life, it wasn't planned. I fell into kind of doing a bit of comedy by accident, thanks to two mad women who I met after I published a book called Wise Up, which was about getting older. And that was published in 2022. Through that, I met these two mad women, Orla Doherty and Val Troy, who are comedy writers, newly formed comedy writers as well. And they set up the Irish branch of an organisation called Funny Women, which is a UK organisation was set up about 20 years ago to promote women in comedy. Back in those days, obviously, you know yourself, panel, you know, the comedy panels were all men. There was very few women stand up. So that's what they do. So the two headbangers here decided to set up the Irish branch, and they were putting on their first show. And they rang me and said, can we meet you for a coffee? We want to tell you about this. And I said, sure. I assumed they wanted me to help them promote it. So I listened to them telling me all about the show. They were having all these women comedians on, up and coming comedians. And I said, yeah, that's great. What do you want me to do? And they said, we'd like you to be in it. And I said, great to hell now. I'm not doing that. You've got to be kidding me. And anyway, they wouldn't let me out of their flat until I agreed. And I said, I'll do something. And I kind of forgot about it until the day. And I put a bit together, which was taken from a piece I had in the book, but I changed it, about smear tests, which is the height of hilarity, obviously. And and it went down really well. And I got bitten with the bug. I mean, I was terrified. I was the oldest woman on the bill by a million miles. I was like, I mean, I know some of the other young comedians came in and thought, who's brought their mammy with them? And I was like, I'm not the mammy, I'm on. But I was terrified. But the buzz of hearing people laugh was just addictive. I just thought, I love this. And that's what made me start. And then I got the opportunity to put together a one-woman show because a hotel asked to do a collaboration with me and gave me the venue. And I thought, here. And you know, that's the great thing about getting older, Miriam, is that like, I'm 64 in January. I figure if opportunities come along, I'm better off saying yes than no. As long as nobody's likely to die or be seriously injured if I fail, then I think, do you know what? Give it a shot. Sure, why not?
But it's going down a bomb. I mean, people love it. How do you decide what material? And, you know, I know what's interesting about you is like, you were a single mother at a time in Ireland.
An unmarried mother now.
An unmarried mother.
That was the official title.
What I'm trying to say is a background to you is you're a person, a woman of substance, because at a difficult time in Ireland, I mean, it's much easier now.
Oh, absolutely.
But like, how old were you? You were very young.
I wasn't that young. I was 25 when my daughter was born. I was 24 when I got pregnant. I was 25 when my daughter was born. So, and I talk about this in the first show, An Older, Bolder, Wiser. Like, I wasn't pregnant as a result of rape or incest or abuse of any type. But yeah, it wasn't. Ireland was a tough place for women generally back in the 80s. And certainly if you stepped outside what was perceived as being your lane, you were into all kinds of trouble. And as I say, I had the support of my family, which was terrific. But I tell one story in the show, which I might share with you, which kind of illustrates the attitudes at the time, which were there was an awful lot of judgment and an awful lot of shame. So I was on maternity leave from my job and I was at home. And my father, who was, as he would say himself, a senior civil servant, had just retired. So the two of us were at home. The phone rang. Now, this is long before mobile phones, one phone in the hall. Phone rang. I answered the phone and it was a colleague of my dad's, who was not in the same branch of the civil service, but was also a senior civil servant and had public profile. So I answered the phone, said hello, and he handed over to my dad. I could only hear my dad's side of the conversation. But the first thing my dad said was, no, that was Barbara. Obviously, the man thought I was my mother. And he said, no, that was Barbara. And then he said, oh, no, she is working. Back in the 80s, a lot of people weren't. And then he said, no, she's on. And I could feel my father getting a bit hot and under the collar and a bit kind of. And he said, no, she's on. She's on maternity leave. Next thing he said was, no, she didn't get married. And at this stage, my poor father was really, you know, all over the place. And I was mortified, not for myself, but because he was being made feel uncomfortable. And the next thing he said was, no, she didn't get married. And then he said, oh, yes, she does know who the father is. And that to me sums up attitudes, because if you were pregnant and on your own or had a child and were on your own, you were clearly having it off with every fella who walked past your front door.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless your father though, because actually he was very strong and stood by you.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. It took him a while. I mean, when I told him I was pregnant, and my brothers, I'm the only girl in the family and I had three brothers. My brothers all thought it was hilarious because I'd always been the good girl, you know, went to school, did well, and my leaving cert was very steady, was very, you know, and they were three messers generally. They thought it was hilarious that I came home pregnant. But the day I told my father, I'll never forget it. Like I told him and he went very quiet. And then I heard him go upstairs and he was vomiting in the bathroom. And I remember thinking, oh, my God. And it took him 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, he just couldn't talk to me because he didn't know how to deal with it.
But he did.
But he did deal with it. And he was great.
And the great thing about your new show is, you know, you tell those kind of stories. But
now, they're
I mean,
funnier than that one. That one isn't that funny. I'm aware of the fact if somebody's listening and going, that wasn't that funny, Barbara, I know. But it's a mixture of storytelling.
It's about because
comedy.
I'm worth it as well. To explain that, you know, it's a phrase that's been used, maybe overused. So how are you changing it around?
Well, what I think is I am worth it. Like, again, as I say, I'm coming up to my 64th birthday. I've suddenly decided I've done the hard yards. Do you know, I've done the putting everybody else first.
Yeah.
I've done putting the kids first, putting him and his job first, putting the house first.
That's Paul Sherlock.
Paul Sherwood.
Lovely husband.
Yeah,
now.
He's all right. And he better be listening. And suddenly I'm at the age, like, they're all, my kids are adults. He's still reasonably well able to look after himself. And I'm thinking, this is my time now. This is the time when I get to decide what I want to do and what's going to make me happy. Without, I mean, I don't, I'm not trying to upset anybody and I don't upset anybody. Everybody's grand. But yeah, that's what I mean by because I'm worth it. And I talk in the show about what, like, one of the things, two of my three daughters, this shows what a great mom I am, unlike you. Two of mine have moved as far away as they possibly could from me and they live on the other side of the world in Australia. And I talk about visiting Australia, which are not holidays, they are family visits. And I talk about how I've now decided that on the way back, we tag on 3 days somewhere nice for a bit of...
For you and Paul.
For me and Paul.
Sherwood, by the way. I was like, yeah, yeah.
And we have somewhere nice where we stay in a nice hotel and I go to the spa and it's all absolutely wonderful. And that's the kind of thing I mean, because I'm now worth it. I go, yeah, I'm worth it. I need to have a rest now after being mammy for 2 weeks or 3 weeks in Australia. So this is what I'm doing on the way back.
And I know from people who've gone to your show, you know, there are topics that really resonate with them, you know. Going into family, it's not menopause heavy, sure it's not. There's been a lot spoken about that. You think there's a lot of baloney being advertised to people about it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have a lot of issues. I'm glad we're talking about menopause because I'm old enough to remember when it was called the change that nobody actually said out loud. So I'm glad we're talking. But I have a big issue with women being told they have brain fog. Because I live with a man who's the same age as me. His brain fog is easily as bad as mine.
Poor Paul.
We all go out in mixed groups of people our age and we have long conversations where we never use a proper noun because we can't remember the name of any person, place or thing. But we all know what we're talking about. And that's only because my head is way more full of information than somebody who's a lot younger. It's what I call it is an information retrieval slowdown, like a computer. It's got a lot of information, takes longer to find the bit you need. But telling women it's brain fog is ridiculous because men get it as well. So I have an issue. I also have an issue with mood swings. That's another one. That only women apparently get mood swings and they're always put down to their hormones. It could be that women actually get mad once they become postmenopausal and they have time to breathe and look around and realise we're still fighting for the same baloney we were fighting for 30 years ago, like closing the gender pay gap, like girls getting an equal chance at sport and all of that kind of stuff. So I talk a little bit about menopause, but most of what I talk about in both shows are stories from my own life. And you know, Miriam, like 95% of them are absolutely true. I might have embellished them a little bit, but they are true. And that's why I really admire younger comedians because I'm like, where do they get their material if they're only in their 20s or their 30s? Like, I have a whole lot of experience to mine. And I think it just, when you put your mind into thinking, that was ridiculous, like that was mental, you realise that most of life is ridiculous and is funny. And I don't believe that holy God or whoever it is that created everything and designed everything, I don't think we were meant to take it that seriously.
Yeah, that's so
interesting. And I think even the dark parts, if you have a sense of humour, I think it helps you to get through even the dark parts. So I think it's really important that we learn to stand back and just have a laugh at how ridiculous it is being a woman, how ridiculous it is getting older, how ridiculous life is. And it makes it easier if you do that.
The first time you got up to do it on stage, Because I often talk to comedians and they still sometimes say it is terrifying. Were you terrified or not?
Oh, I was terrified. And I'm still terrified. Like every night before I go on, I'm still terrified. Sherwood, who we've mentioned already, is very often with me. And he knows, I'm like, we need to go for something to eat. And then I'm going, oh, I can't eat. Oh, I don't want to eat that. I just want to eat this. And I'll have one gin, but I can't have any more gin. I get totally. But once I get on stage and once I feel that energy coming back. And I also feel that I'm talking to an audience who aren't well served by comedy because my audience are mainly female, although I have men who come to all my shows and they love it and they learn lots. And I'd love to see them there. But I think that women over 40 are not necessarily well served by comedy because most comedians are younger. So they love the show. And I think the feedback I get is that it's very relatable as well, because my life hasn't been extraordinary. It's the same as most women who are my age. And I think that's part of what they really like. So they've been going really, really well. Yeah. And I'm thrilled with it.
And do you workshop your material? Who do you test it on?
Yeah. Well, you see, I used to have daughters that lived at home and they were great because they would be very honest. But now I've only one and she's working in media as well. So she's never around. I've only one at home. In other words, the other two are away. So yes, I do. The same two wagons who got me involved in comedy in the first instance, Orla and Val, are fantastic. And so I'll ring them when I've new material and say, I need to talk to you. I need you to sit and listen to this. And they're very honest and their feedback is always excellent. So yeah, that's really important. And then doing work in progress shows, which I never understood, because you have to have an audience to see sometimes what I think is hilarious. The audience think is, yeah, funny, but not hilarious. And the things that I didn't think were that funny, the audience think are absolutely hilarious. So doing work in progress is very interesting because you really do learn what's really working and maybe what needs a bit more work.
Yeah, and I've been at your shows and they're fabulous. Now, it's almost December, so we can mention Christmas.
Oh, we can, yeah.
You wrote a great piece, actually, for the Mistletoe magazine about Christmas, didn't you?
And thank you, yeah.
How has it changed for you right now?
Well, it's a bit like my own life in that, I've done the hard yards of Christmas because my father died in 2001. And after that, my mother said she wasn't hosting Christmas anymore. So I took over as being the only girl. So I've done the hard yards of having everybody for Christmas and the turkey and the ham and the mountain of potatoes and, getting yourself into a sweat in the kitchen. And by the time you finally sit down, you just want to go to bed because you're exhausted. I've done all that and it was great fun and I'm glad I did it and I don't regret it. But I'm now at the stage, as I say, children gone, one at home. We also became vegetarian about 7 years ago, all of us together in the house. And that was a game changer. If you really don't want people coming to your house for dinner, go vegetarian because nobody wants to come to us for Christmas anymore. They're like, what, you don't have a turkey? You don't have a ham? No, thanks. We're not coming.
Great idea, Barbara.
So now there's only three of us and we can stay in our pyjamas all day and have our dinner whenever the hell we want.
Sounds like a plan.
It's grand.
Well, look, Barbara Scully, thank you so much for being my guest today. You can catch the Older, Bolder, Wiser show. It's in Belfast in the Harrison Hotel on January the 9th, in the Civic in Tala on the 18th of February, in the Clubay Hotel in Westport on the 7th of March, and your new show is previewing the Dorky Comedy Festival on St. Bridget's Day on the 1st of February. All details on barbarascully.com. Thank you so much for being my guest, Barbara. Mila Breakers.